I praise God for taking care of my oldest son, one of my sons, Nick here. And, you know, he was involved. The devil tried to take him away from us as he was on his motorcycle and somebody hit him and ran into him. Come and tell a little bit about your testimony, because I want to talk about healing today, too. Amen. Because I want the church to understand it's his body, but it's God's temple. Hallelujah.
Well, Saturday I was actually going to meet my family at a pumpkin patch in Loveland, and it was two-lane traffic. I was in my lane about to turn left, looked to my left, seen where I needed to turn at, seen a police officer right there directing traffic. I looked in my mirror, and I seen a red Cadillac Escalade just flying, coming like 50 miles per hour, and at the last minute, all I heard was just, and I didn't know what to do. I couldn't do nothing, really. I was staying still. So at the last second, she swerved, hit my whole right side, ran my foot over everything, went to the ambulance, no broken bones. Put me on crutches. Monday I had to come down here for our scholarship training, and I said, you know, only thing I need to lean on is. So I left them crutches at home. Ever since, I've been walking fine. Still a little shocked, but at the end of the day, it could have been way worse. And I'm just blessed to be able to be here and tell y'all about what happened with me. And that was just literally a week ago. So just blessed to be here. God is good.
Amen. That's God. God will do what he said he will do. He's able to fulfill every promise to you. If you don't get nothing else, get this. Don't give up on God. Cause he won't give up on you. He's able. That was somebody. That was for somebody right there. Somebody needed to know this morning. He's able. You don't need nothing else today. And no matter what I preach right now, what you needed right then is that he's able. Now take that down, Tia. Take it down. Take it down. You take me somewhere I don't want to go right now. Hallelujah. He's able. Yeah. So I'm going to just cut right to the chase. Because we've been preaching this message for about 4 weeks. This is part number 4. But God wants somebody to know he's able. I think I'm going to show you why God is able. Because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's why God is able. Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You was bought at a price, not with a price. Hello, 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 hello. Not at a price. You not with a price, but at a price. Which means something had to be given up for you. You was bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with what? Your body. Honor God with your body. So today I want to continue to talk about my body, his temple. Look at somebody and tell them, it's my body. But his temple. 4 weeks ago we talked about this, and we talked about that there was 3 headings we wanted to preach about. And we started out talking about part number 1, the body, a temple of the Holy Spirit. Because the scripture says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? In other words, when he said what, he's letting the people know, don't you understand something? Don't you know that you belong to God? Don't you know you're not your own? Don't you know God now lives in you? God ain't coming in the temple no more. He coming in you. And we talked about sometime if the temple don't be clean, sometime it needs a cleansing and not a cleaning. Hello, somebody, because sometimes these temples get dirty. We allow sin to creep in, amen? And so sometimes we got to do some cleansing. Look at somebody and say, don't clean it. Cleanse it. Yeah, there's a difference between cleaning and cleansing. Amen? And so we talked about seven things that we must do for spiritual cleaning. Number one is cleanse your heart. Amen? Clean out your mouth. Renew your mind. Repent from hidden sin. Release unforgiveness and bitterness. Involve Jesus in your daily life. And the last one was to learn to laugh at yourself and at life. Look at somebody and tell them, it ain't that serious all the time. And said, once your house has been cleansed, then there's some characteristics that should show. You should have a clear conscience, true joy, a passion to serve God. An intimate relationship with God should form once the house has been cleansed. Then we said, let's consider the body under heading number two, the body as a trust. And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Hello, somebody, with a price. Since my body belongs to God and is his temple, he loans it to me as a trust. Whatever you have, whenever you have something in your possession that belongs to somebody else, it is put to you as a trust. And you are responsible to take good care of another person's possession. How are you taking care of God's temple? Huh? You need to watch where you go. Watch what you see. Watch what you do. Watch what you go and do with other folk. Amen. Because it don't belong to you. We are the trustees of the body. We hold it for the Lord, and we should use it according to his direction. And then I said, let us consider the body under number three. We finally got there last week. The body as a testimony. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here is the purpose of the body. It is to be used to bring glory to God. Can I say that again? Yes. Your body is to be used to bring glory to God. And somebody just thought about that and said, Pastor, what I did last night might not have brought glory up. I thought wasn't nobody looking. I was sure I was even by myself. But did it bring glory to God? Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and they give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good work and your good deeds and glorify who? Glorify who? The Father which is in heaven. So when folks see you and the things you do, will they give glory to God? Can I say that again? When folks see you and the things you do, will they give glory to God? Or are you waiting for them to give you the glory? Hello. Can we rejoice in the back of the line? Can we rejoice and praise God in back of the church? Because the glory belongs to God. Hello. Can we shout and testify when our name has never been called? Can we shout and testify if they never call us elder, deacon, brother, preacher, pastor, bishop, prophet? Can we smile when you know you made the contribution and you were deliberately overlooked and ignored, but you showed up anyway? Because it wasn't about you. You was there to give God the glory. I'm trying to help somebody. You don't want your name to be mentioned when you give big contributions. Why? Because your glory belongs to the Lord. So the Bible said, whatever you do in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Look at somebody and say, do it for God's glory. Why do you do it for God's glory? Well, 1 Peter 2:9 told us this. But you are a chosen people. I'm trying to help somebody to help you understand who you are. Hello, 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 hello. You're not kicked in the gutter. You're not down in the curb. The Bible says you are a chosen. Look at somebody and tell them, God chose me. Tell them I may not be pretty, but God still. Shut up. Yeah. Tell them I might be broke, but God still chose me. You are a chosen people. Listen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That made me feel special right there. God, when your boo say, I called you just to call you, this makes me feel special because God calls me his very own. Why am I God's special possession? That you may declare the praises of him who called you. Somebody should have shouted right there. Somebody should have shouted right there. Called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Look at somebody and say, God called me out. Tell them that's why I don't go to places you want me to go no more. Tell them God called me out. That's why I don't cuss as much. Well, I'm trying to help God help me with the cussing. Lord, help me, Lord. Help, Lord, bridle this tongue. I'm trying. Won't he do it? I know you do it. If you ask God, God, bridle my tongue here. Next time you want to cuss, it'll be like soap in your mouth. Lord Jesus. He brought you out of darkness. Somebody should have shouted again because somebody knew it was real dark where I was at. But God caught me while I was dropping it like it's, he caught me right there. And he brought me out. And now that I've been walking with Jesus, Paul said, that's what I used to do. I don't do that no more. Notice the words, that you may declare the praises of him. Declare the praises of him. We are God's chosen message of advertising his praise. Hello, somebody. The word praises mean excellencies. The virtues and excellencies of Christ are to be seen and magnified in our lives as we give him praise. Christians should be dramatically different from the world. Christ taught the same thing in Matthew 5:13. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Hello. Church, we are to preserve the world from decay. It is our job to tell Satan to go where he came from. I got my babies in here. I can't preach it where I feel it. We have tremendous value. He said, you are the light of the world. So let your light shine. Don't go in nowhere hiding down, putting your head down, being ashamed. You better hold your head because you are a child of the living God and there is a God living inside of you. So the next time you step in the office, I don't care how many haters up in there, you better step in like you're a child of God. You better let them know who you are and whose you are. Don't be ashamed to be a child of the King. Among all the people of the earth, there are some people who are radically different than the rest of us. Look. Believers have been saved from the darkness of sin and out of this world in order to be a unique people who worship God. That's what separates us from those who are outside in the darkness. We know how to worship the true and living God. Folk on the outside don't worship God. I can tell you this, you're going to worship somebody. John 4:23-24 says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. Is God looking for you? Is he looking for you? Can he find you? That's the question. Can he find you? The only way he can find you is if you worship in him. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Well, the fact that God seeks true worshipers implies that there are some false worshipers. False worshipers either worship something other than God, or they may attempt to worship the true God, but do it in a way that actually dishonor God. They worship is man-centered. They think it's about them when it's about him. Sometimes their worship is patterned more of an entertainment than after the Bible. It draws attention, but there is no power. It draws attention, but not to the Lord. They're like the Jewish leaders of whom Jesus talked about in Matthew 5 and 8, citing Isaiah. He said, this people honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far away from me. It's amazing to me how some folk can come to church, sing, pray, and shout, and still don't know the Lord. They have a form of godliness, but don't possess the power within. So be careful not to fall into the category of a false worshiper. He says again in John 4:23-24, yet a time is coming and has now. Look at somebody and tell them it's right now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We see from the scriptures here that Jesus says God is looking for a certain type of worshiper. Although that type of worship may come in many different forms, such as poetry and music and dance, and even in our prayers, but the worship must have two elements, spirit and truth. Our worship of God must meet his standard. It must be under his conditions if we want him to seek us, as the scripture says. There is only one thing God wants from us, and that is our unconditional surrender. Will you surrender this house? Will you turn over the deed? Will you sign over the contract? Will you let it all go? Will you let him fill this temple? When we are born again, the Holy Spirit begins to work a new creation in us. And there will be a time when there is nothing remaining of the old life. Our old gloomy outlook will disappear, as does our old attitude towards new things. All things become of God, and all things are become new. When someone moves into a new house, they get started in making the place look and feel the way they want it to be. I know when we moved in our house, somebody else lived there. But when we moved in, we gutted it. Pulled out the carpet, pulled out everything, the wallpaper, got it down to the bare structure. And then we start to build it the way we wanted it. We start putting in the colors we wanted. We start putting in the carpet we wanted. Why? Because it's our house now. The old is gone. The new has come. Hello, somebody. That's why 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's when Jesus moved in and he starts seeing that attitude. that one got to go. When he starts seeing that stone cold heart, that one got to go. When he started to see that you don't love the way he wants you to love, that's got to go. Amen. When you got that old busted hoopty in the garage that ain't no good for nothing, that's got to go. The old got to go, because all things become new when Jesus steps into our lives and into our spirit. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to let it go. So how do we get a life that has no lust, has no self-interest, and it's not sensitive to the ridicule of others? How can we have the type of love that is kind, that is not provoked, and think no evil, as in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 says, the only way is by allowing nothing of the old life to remain. You got to get rid of it. Put it out at the dump. Let somebody else come get your trash. That's called a cleansing. Put it out on the curb. There's some people who specialize in junk. Trying to help somebody. In my neighborhood, if you put junk out to the curb, before morning, it's gone. You got junk, put it out on the curb. Don't you deal with it. Sit out for somebody, let somebody else take care of it. Here's what I know. If you take your junk and put it out on the curb and say, Lord, help me, God can come and swoop that junk. Because one man's junk is another man's treasure. God can recycle your junk and bring it back to you in a new and fresh way. Shut up. The next time you see it, it look brand new. But all God did was took your junk, put some love on it, shove straight on, washed it in the blood, Jesus, and then he brought it back to you, and you thought it was brand new, but it was your old stuff that's been washed in the blood, shove straight on, and now you're looking at it like it's something all new, it cleaned up. Somebody should have said, won't he do it? The only way is to allow nothing of the old life to remain, and by having only simple, perfect trust in God. That kind of trust is when we no longer want God's blessing, but we want God himself. That's when you say, take the stuff, I just want you. Have we come to the point where our worship is so real that God can withdraw his blessing from us without us withdrawing our trust in him? Can we still praise him while we're going through? Huh? I'm trying to help somebody. Just because you don't have the new car, can you praise him with a used car? Just because you don't have the steak and potatoes, can you praise him for the pork and beans and wieners? And if he don't do another thing for you, can you still stand up and give God the glory? Because it ain't about the stuff anyway. Stuff come and go. People come and go. But God remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the old folks say, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Once we truly see God at work, we will never be concerned again about the things that happen in our lives. Because we're actually worshiping and trusting in our Father in heaven, whom the world cannot see. So what is true worship? What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? Let's look at worship in spirit. To worship in spirit is to remove anything we can hear, see, taste, smell, or feel. We remove the five senses and rely only on the spirit. If you are communicating with another person, you speak with them in their language. You speak English, I'm going to speak to you in English. You speak Spanish, I will try my best to speak to you in Spanish. But if you speak Portuguese or French, I can't help you. And even in Spanish, I only know two words. So you better hope we can get along on two words. If you are communicating with God, we need to speak with him in his language. To worship God in spirit is to connect with God in spirit. One-to-one, offering ourselves up to him in praise. Worshiping in spirit begins when we come face-to-face with who God is and what he has done. When we recognize him as the great creator and savior, our spirits fill with awe and wonders and gratitudes, which leads us to worship and expressing what we feel in our spirit. Now listen, worship, by the way, is not music or dancing. These are the manifestation of worship. Worship is loving God. Worship is honoring God. Worship is knowing God for who he is, adoring him, obeying him, proclaiming him as a way of life. Worship is an inner attitude and feeling of awe, reverence, gratitude, and love towards God, resulting from the realization of who he is and who we are. God is great. I ain't nothing. So how does it take part? How does it take place? It takes place in the heart, not in the building. Boy, they really worshiping God, really? Well, they was jumping all over, really? 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 It takes place in the heart. John 4:21 says, Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Jesus told us it isn't about the place. There is no appointed place or time, but a humble spirit is what's required. Unfortunately, some of the coldest, unmeaningless worship can take place inside the church. How many of us have ever bowed our head during prayer and praise time just to wait until whoever was praying get finished? Can't wait till they get done. Are they still praying, Lord Jesus? Amen, 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 amen. How many of us are thinking about what we're going to have for lunch right now? Ain't heard a word I said so far until just now when I called you out. Oop. How many of us are daydreaming, looking out the window? I hope Pastor stop at 1. It's 1 o'clock. Is he going to do one of them stop things? He going to do that stop thing right now? Is he going to do that right now? He going to do that right now. It's 1 o'clock right now. He going to do that stop thing and say, come back next week. Watch. He going to do it. He going to do it. Not. It's not this building that God's spirit is in. We are his temple, and the spirit lives in us. The spirit is the one telling you to wake up. The spirit is the one saying, get your attention back on the word. The spirit is the one saying, you better get this truth that's going to help you tomorrow when you show up on your job and get fired. You better wake up right now, because God knows what's coming around the corner. You're going to need to worship me when they call you everything but a child of God. You're going to have to worship me when they don't even know your name. You're going to have to worship me. Because of this, true worship can take place anywhere. Even when you get the pink slip and been fired, you say, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because God, if this is gone, you got something better. Shut up, straight home. I'm trying to help somebody. Fire me if you want to. Do me a favor. favor. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Mess with me if you want to. Tell somebody I can worship God right now. Anybody ever worship God in your car? Everybody who raised your hand, I'm going to tell you right now, stop it. Pull it over. Then worship God. I know what I'm talking about. I was worshiping God one day in the parking lot of Frisch's because something miraculous just happened. And I hit the gas when I should have hit the brake. And the car was in reverse. And I backed right into the pole. But I was praising God. They should put on the Artemis sign. Stop praising. Pull over. Amen. True worship can happen. Listen, where we gather to worship is secondary. We can go out to the woods and worship. Hello. We can worship God outside in Bright Star Park. My worship should be no different whether I'm in this building, outside, on my job. Have you ever worshiped God in the Kroger's line? People looking at you like, what's wrong? I just thank God I got the money to pay for all this food. Ain't God good? They say that Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, had a plaque hanging over her sink in the kitchen. And it read, worship conducted here 3 times daily in her kitchen. Whenever she's preparing a meal, Billy Graham says she be worshiping God. And he said, you can taste it in the food because it make you say, thank you, Jesus. When was the last time you took a long drive? Quiet walks. And if you have kids, maybe the only quiet space you have is in your shower. But true worship can take place anywhere. When's the last time you spent time worshiping God in his creation? Huh? When's the last time you did that? Worship God in his creation. Wherever you are, pay attention to what God has made. Huh? The night sky with its stars, the sun to warm the days and give us the light. Huh? The flowers, the birds and the trees, the butterflies, even the bugs. When is the last time you said, thank you, Jesus? Even your body. When's the last time you looked at your hand? And that's the old folks you say, and your hand look new. Huh? When's the last time you wonder, how does it work, God? How does it work that I can be preaching right now, looking at all these folks, but yet my fingers are wiggling? How that even happen? How does the body even work? How that's just amazing to me that I can do all of these things at the same time, but God put it in me to be able to work it out. There are many different ways to express what you feel in your spirit for God. Don't wait till Sunday to do it. Right. Tell somebody, quit waiting till you get to church. Wait to get to church. Praise God during the week. Call somebody up and say, you know what? I just want to say thank you, Jesus. And hang up the phone. That's all you do. I got to get praise out. Thank you, Jesus. Click. I just had to tell somebody how good God been to me. Click. I don't want nothing. I ain't got nothing else to say. But thank you, Jesus. Click. You might change somebody's life because at that moment when you call, they was going through hell and high water and they needed somebody that know that Jesus is able. Marion composed a song. David danced before the Lord. Peter and John healed a man at the temple. Mary broke a vase of expensive perfume. All of these in each mode of expression, what was happening was something that started in the heart. Hello, somebody. And it overflowed from the heart into an outward expression. The expression itself is not the key here, but the fact that it was coming from the heart. Worship happens when we live what we speak and believe. Worship should happen in church, but continue when you leave. Worship is watching your language at work and at home and in the church. Worship is when you take time to visit somebody who's sick or lonely. Worship is loving your husband and your wife. Worship is when you share your faith with somebody else. Worship is when you decide not to go back to your old lifestyle. Worship happens when you present yourself as a living sacrifice to God because of who he is and what he has done. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, my brethren, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to who? Now you know, I'm about to go home though. You know that you're the real deal when your worship is not about you or what you want or what you need, about your desires or what you're asking for, but you're worshiping to ask God to step in for somebody else. Can you take your worship there? Is there anybody in the room today who can testify and say, preacher, I've learned how to go to God for somebody else? Huh? As a matter of fact, you ought to tell your neighbor, tell him, you sat in the right seat today. Tell him, you sat in the right seat today. Because this praise is not for me. It's not for what I need. I'm about to give God some praise for you and your breakthrough. And God is looking for somebody who is willing to grab their neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, tell them, neighbor, this praise, this shout is for your breakthrough. It's for your healing. It's for your marriage. It's for your child. It's for your job. It's for your wife. It's for your husband. This shout is not for me, but I'm praising God in advance for what he's about to do in your life. God is good and his mercy endure forever. Somebody should shout. Don't wait till the battle is over. You better shout right now. Right here. You ain't got to move nowhere. You ain't got to go nowhere. I'm going to worship God for you. Because praise is what I do. I had somebody come to me, say, pastor, you don't need to know what's going on. Just know I need you to pray for me and send a word. I'm praying for you this morning. I don't need to know the problem. I don't need to know the situation. All I can do is say, God, send a word. Break their heart. Mend the broken spirit. Lift them up in the name of Jesus. Let all things be well. I don't need to know the problem because God knows everything that's going on. We bless your name in this place. Our praise and our worship shouldn't be selfish, self-centered, or self-seeking and me-focused. We need some worshipers in our circle who can worship God in spirit and in truth and worship God for somebody else. Worship is an inside job. That is why God said, you shall love him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your strength. We need to worship God within the spirit of a living God that's worshiping God for us and with us. My worship is for real. My worship is for real. Father God, the person whose hand I have right now, if you're holding somebody's hand, say, Lord, the person's hand I have right now, I lift them to you. Let your will be manifested in their lives today. The Bible encourages us to lift one another higher than we lift ourselves. So I lift you up to the Lord right now. In spirit and in truth. Let the church shout amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise in this place.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, God.
Church, I'm going to leave you with this. Go to Philippians 1, 2, and 20. Yeah. This is what Paul told the Philippians. Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. Paul said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have suffered, but will have sufficient courage. So that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Paul knew that his body was a living temple unto the God, unto his God. And we too must realize that God dwells here, whether in life or in death. God is the keeper of it all. So be determined to learn everything you can about the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Come to know who it is that's living inside of you. Read your Bible. Study every reference about the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. Do not be satisfied with anything less than the love, the joy, the peace, the victory, the power that comes from living daily in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in everything you do. And it's all right to tell some people no sometime. There's a no in the anointing. Spell it out. You see N-O in anointing. Amen. Folks trying to get you to do things that's against the word of God and against who he is in you, tell them no. And God will honor that. Give the Lord a praise today.